Jesus said to his disciples that you will be my witnesses. That is Acts 1, verse 8. He said to them, wait. He said to them, it is wait, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus making this promise to his disciples, this wonderful promise to him. You may wonder, you say, how on earth this is going to unfold? You may say like this. And today also the Lord may say to you, I want you to do this. And then you may say, how am I this going to happen? Just imagine if the Lord say to you today, you are going to be the Prime Minister of Australia. How would you respond to that? Or even the Premier of this country. How are you going to respond to this? Or you are going to reach a nation of Nepal with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How are, you may say, I haven't been to the theological college. I haven't been trained. And then I don't know Greek or Hebrews. And I don't particularly feel like a mighty man of God. How about this? Or you are going to be a mother of 10 children. And you say, even I don't have a husband. You see, how God really makes these promises. But you know, God is not afraid to make promises, because he never fails to fulfill his promises. And so for us, we are slow all the time and to grasp this and to rely on these wonderful things, because we look to ourselves and we see it's about our intelligence, about our means, that we can fulfill all that God has promised. You see? And for the disciples, for them to be told like that. So for them was a struggle, isn't it? So they were just only believers, and they haven't received yet the power from on high. And yet they were told that they were going to be Christ's witnesses. They are going to be mighty men and women of God who will just expand the kingdom that is so supernatural in nature. And so now these people were given this promise. And we have seen how they got on with the job when the Holy Spirit came upon them, even though they were not aware that even as they were living their life, just ordinarily, just going, Peter and John going and seeing someone who is like crippled and paralyzed and seeking help, and yet they raised him up. So they didn't know that they were just like real demonstrating the power of the kingdom of Jesus Christ there, of which they are part. And so they went on doing that. And even when they were brought before the Sanhedrins and those who were persecuting them, and they were warned not to spread the good news, and not to speak about the name of Jesus Christ, they were filled with courage and with boldness. And then they just declared that it's not possible for us to be silenced, but we will continue going on sharing, testifying. And so they were going doing that. But always, one of the things I want to tell you is, like the things I want to share with you, is the fact that it's not always really easy, and it's not always through comfort and through means that may not pose danger and threat to the lives of the believers, even as they go through that. So we haven't seen something graphic so far, but we, especially before chapter 8, before the chapter 7 and 8, before the stoning of Stephen. But they were progressing to that, and then they got to that point where Stephen also, as he was witnessing, testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ, he got killed, isn't it? And then the Bible says that because that now his death also brought about really a severe persecution on the church. So the answer to the questions I ask here, when the Lord says, you will be my witnesses. So how are they going to be God witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the end of the earth? So my first point is like, well, it takes persecution for Jesus to fulfill his promise to his own people and to the disciples and to every believer who ever lived and who is going to live. It might be this way or another. It might be through a peaceful proclamation of the gospel and nothing happens against you, or it might be at times where it will maybe cost you even your life. And so in both ways, the Christians have to learn from these books, from the Bible, that God's ways are not our ways, and they are not our ways. And we, as we will see, even though they may look so bad, but they achieve a wonderful end, a wonderful goal. And that is why we heard earlier, they are considered a pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. So there is joy there. There is something wonderful, unique and glorious and wonderful for us, even as we go through these things and as it was for the disciples. And so it takes, my first point, it takes persecution. On that day, the day on which Stephen was stoned, the enemies of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of the world, just raged against the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so they attacked the believers, and then they scattered them, and then they were running away. So let me just reflect a little bit and to share with you the fact that the persecution was against the church, but on a certain part of the church. Because we are told here all believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, except the disciples, except the apostles. So everyone was dispersed and scattered except the disciples. And now the persecution was targeting those who were associated with Stephen. And then we observe that Stephen, as a Hellenist, a Greek speaker, is speaking Jew. So here, these people, they look a little bit, they have a different culture, they have a different approach to faith itself. They speak Greek. They don't look like purely Hebrews. And so, whereas the other Hebrews, Hebrew is speaking Jews, they were seeing themselves as still Jews, isn't it? So there was but the Hellenist, from which Stephen belongs or comes from, so they a little bit different, but they are Jews. But because they have a different culture, they speak different language. Maybe they were, even when they embraced the Christian faith, I think they stood out. They stood out. Because there's no, there's not a lot of baggage on them as Jews and having living through custom and traditions, because their traditions are not purely Jews now. Maybe they are eating Greek menus, I think, like Greek type of food, and then speaking language and maybe reading arts and other things. So they are not really like purely Jews. So now these people are the one who have been scattered. We can just read this from the text. And how is this helpful to us? Well, in the church in which we live today, maybe even the persecution may not come upon us all, but there may be certain people will be targeted. Maybe because of their freedom from many baggages, many traditions that other people are holding to. Should we condemn the other part of the church that is not persecuted? Like the disciple, perhaps they were left alone. And also, again, we know that God in his providence, also he is going to use all these things for the advancements of his kingdom. Because the church at Jerusalem will remain as a center of theological place. Where the church will always come back to this place, because we, you see, the disciples, they said in chapter 6 that we are to give ourselves to the study of the word and prayer. They will be praying for the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, even though themselves are not there, but they are there in the spirit. Now they are the leaders of the church, and all the theological debates will be always referred to. And if someone is being raised in the ministry, will seek the fellowship, the right hand. You see the elders, whenever someone is becoming a member, I think on the 2nd of October, few people came to be members of our church, and I believe our elders gave them a right hand of fellowship, isn't it? And so even Apostle Paul sought to go and also to introduce himself to the disciples. You know Acts 15, Jerusalem Council, when there were theological issues, they had to go back to Jerusalem. So God in his wisdom also is going to use Jerusalem as a center. So here these people, they will be stationed there. But now the churches are scattered. And so even if that is why we, people who are relatively settled and established, maybe in our modern days, is we have money, we have theological trainings, and we have this, have time to study the word. We have electricity. Other places, they don't have this luxury to have electricity. They don't have books to help them. Even they don't know about a lot of history. But again, these two parts of the church, they are one, and they achieve one goal, and that is the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So all is scattered. And they went away. And now you know, they were scattered through Judea and Samaria. They were told to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Now, through these persecutions, the gospel is touching these places. Let me pause to say, because I heard a lot of churches that have not gone through persecution and suffering. They think suffering is a good thing. It's not a good thing. It was not God's choice to bring this persecution on his people so that the gospel can advance. No, that was not the case. It was not God's first choice for Stephen to die. But God always uses every situation for good. You know that all things work for good of them, those who love the Lord God. And so that whether we are being persecuted, not persecuted, we are still in the hands of the mighty God, and we can still fulfill all his promises. And we can, he can fulfill his promises for us, even through hard things and hard issues. And so to encourage us, that is God who cares. It's not just out of anger that he allows us to go through these things, or he was taken by surprise and just suddenly to see things happening like that. Of course, he is God, all who is all knowing, and so he allows his disciples to go through this, so that all of us, we learn that it's not only when things are good that we can prosper, that we can even advance the kingdom of God. Even when things are bad, we need to still be about all the things that the Lord God our Almighty has desire for us to go through. So today your call for us is to wake up and to take every opportunity and to know that there are no good times ever where we can really witness and testify, where we can do good to others, where even ourselves can grow in our knowledge of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait for good times. Maybe, how do you know? Maybe the what it seemed to us to be the bad times are the best times for us ever. It's when we are weak that we can become strong, isn't it? It's when we are sad, then we can know the comfort and the joy that comes from the Lord. See? So the God we serve is an amazing God. And nothing can stop him from blessing his people, or even from really surprising the kingdom of darkness. Even weak people like this, running for their lives, yet now they are advancing the kingdom of God. There are two contrasts here. You see, the verse 3 is delayed. It's supposed to come verse 2, chapter 8. But why? Because there is a contrast here. Godly men buried Stephen. And now we see also in verse 3, Apostle Paul, the one who is going to be Apostle Paul, Saul now, began to destroy the church going from house to house. There is a clear contrast between those who love the Lord and those who are believers and those who are not. And this man, the enemies of the Lord, will seek always to destroy God's people and to stop the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But we see again that there are those who trust the Lord. Even in this situation, these godly people, they didn't fear for their lives. But they were able to go and bury this man, because at that time it was forbidden, someone stoned like that to death, for some people to have courage and to want to go and bury him dignified. That was not the case. But these men, they took the risk because they were convinced that their dear brother, Stephen's, deserve a proper, really burial. And so they defied all the situation, the odds, and they buried him. So now we see the fact that God even uses persecution. Is God using your hard situation for your blessings and for his glory? Well, this is an opportunity for you to glorify God and to press on and to trust him, that you are in his hand, you are in his will, and that these things that you go through will never stop him from blessing you. Even these people who were being dragged into jails, we see that this is not the first time the people of God will be dragged in jail. Paul and Silas in chapter 16 were dragged into jail, and they turned the jail into a worship center. They praise God, they worship God, and the doors of the prisons were planked and they were opened. And then even the jailer himself got saved and his family. You read that through to verse 31. In now modern history, how many people, the heavenly man from China, he used to sing in jail, and he was converting people, and then they will take him out of jail. So wherever they went, they advances the kingdom of God. They share the gospel. We just heard of Joseph. Joseph in jail, God was with him, and God was reaching the world, was saving lives through this man. We see all troubles can never bend God's hand, can never stop God from blessing his people, can never stop God from ruling and reigning and sending his truth forth. So these hard situations are not excuse for us to be complacent and to be weary and to be sad, but our opportunities for us to get on our knees and to praise our God and to read his word and to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us, and then and to step out in faith and share the gospel with others, and they may come to faith. Well, now, those who had been scattered, you see the word is scattering. Scattering might not be a good thing, isn't it? Some people, we pray a lot about stability, isn't it? Just if you move from country to country to country, people will see that, why you move from country to country? You need to settle, you need to get married, you need to have a career, you need to do things properly. As the world will tell us always how to do things, isn't it? How about if God has a different way of using you for the blessings of other people? Jesus didn't have a mansion. If he needed one, he would have built a great one, isn't it? With many, 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 many rooms. You see, many waiters. You see, serving the King of Kings. Well, he was not a king that was to be served. He was a king who came to serve and give his life on the cross of Calvary for you and I, so that we can have access into the presence of God, that we can have access to the blessings. Well, those who have been scattered have preached the word. So now we see the fact that is my second point, that through the persecution that we advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And also we use the word of God. That is the power of God for the advancements of his kingdom. Yes, we are persecuted, we are scattered, we run away, we take it as a pure joy. But now to get on with the job, what is the message that we have to touch lives? Because the kingdom of God is not just a house or a big compound, and then you say, oh, I am in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is supernatural. People to have faith in the risen Savior, to have their life transformed. And that is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And for that to happen, they need to hear the word. The word of God is, I tell you what Jimmy said concerning the word of God. What did he say? In chapter 1, I think verse 12 through to 14. Verse 18. He chose to give us birth. That's the second verse, salvation, birth. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Apostle Paul said that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. So we know now that the gospel, the kingdom of Jesus Christ advances through the proclamation of the word. And now the word, the written words, and the living word are used interchangeably. Here we read that those who were scattered preached the word wherever they went. Preach the word. And so in a good times and in a bad times, it's always the word that brings people to salvation. What is the words all about? The word is about the plans of God, the promises of God. How we can come to faith. How we need salvation. We are sinners. This is the word of God. And so these people who were scattered, they preached the word of God wherever they went. And now, Stephen, Philip, who was a deacon as well, now is emerging. One of the things I want you to observe as we go through the book of Acts, now you see we will be moving away from characters, isn't it? The church was advancing through these leaders, apostles, and Stephen, Philip. But as we go further, and then the last example will be Apostle Paul himself, and then now, the priesthood of all believers. Now there will be multitudes of Christians, and the focus will not be on these individuals. They will be just like really fading away from the picture, or even though they are involved, but the church will be advanced. You will hear of the church at Philippi, church at Ephesus. You see, the numbers of believers is starting to increase. And now these people are also will be really apostle in their own right, isn't it? If I could say that. They will be those who will be advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And now, so that is why we read this. Those many people, few people who were scattered. And now Philip is emerging because in a few verses to come, we will see his activity as an evangelist. Philip. And now Philip, we are told, as one of those who were scattered, as one of those who were preaching the word, he himself went down to a city in Samaria. Maybe he went a little bit further from Judea. He went to Samaria. And remember, Acts 1 verse 8. This verse should not escape your mind. Acts 1 verse 8, please. You will be my witnesses. That is what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. And now we are told that Philip went further down to Samaria to fulfill what his master has promised. And when he went there, he preached or he proclaimed the Christ. He proclaimed the Christ. It's the Christ alone who can save them. The anointed one, the Son of God, who came from heaven to save them. If he was calling these people to repentance, if you believe in the Christ, so you will be forgiven. Your sins will be forgiven. That was the message he was proclaiming. He was proclaiming that he bore your sins on the cross of Calvary. That is Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men. That was their message, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. You considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced for our transgressions. Philip was proclaiming to them that this Messiah is the one who came to take your sins away if you put your trust in him. And those who have become Christian, that is what they have done. Exactly. They have realized that they are sinners. And then without him, they go to hell. And without his forgiveness, they have no share with the God. And they have no forgiveness. They have no salvation. They have no blessings from God. They will have no the Holy Spirit. You see. And that is what Philip was proclaiming. The Christ is the Christ alone who can save your sin, you from your sins. It's Christ alone who can rescue you from your despairs, from humiliation of sin. It's Christ alone who can save you from addictions. It's Christ alone who can liberate you from fresh thoughts. That, fresh thoughts, like we call them fresh thoughts. Philosophy. Whether it's pragmatism or whether it's existentialism or naturalism or what kind. Even pluralism has become a type of philosophy. You see, New Age. You see, these are torturing thoughts. Even people who have religions, African religions, these cannot save you. It's Christ alone who has the power even to defeat the kingdom of Satan. You see people possessed by demons. It's only the name of Jesus Christ that can set people free from demons, from witchcraft. Witchcraft cannot endure the presence of Jesus Christ. And you know, witchcraft and demonic forces of darkness are great enemies for human beings. They destroy lives. They don't dignify you. You see the man who was just cutting himself, leaving with dead bodies in the tombs. You see? So it's only when Christ came that Christ delivered him and he became sane. So Philip was telling them, like, look, you need to turn from your idols, from your sins, even from human tradition, from trying harder. You need to turn to Christ. It's Christ. So he proclaimed Christ to them. He proclaimed Christ. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs and wonders that he was performing, so they paid close attention to what he was saying. See, so they pay close attention. They recognize that there is something unique. There is something from another realm. There is something that is not from this realm. You know, one of the problems that we have in our own times today, we are not, it's a good thing not to be superstitious all the time. But I think for certain people, they are spiritual, you think. Like they like to think about the possibilities of another dimension in life. And that is very important, that we don't just interpret things from humanly speaking. We need always to think that there is God. And always there is his Holy Spirit. And that is why these people, they were paying attention that there is something that is unusual here. There is something that is not really familiar. They are not familiar with. Just to give you a few examples, like when I was growing up and even during universities, there were things which were happening, and I would just stop and really reflect. Whether they are dreams or just events, just you pause and just try to give yourself a time and just look out, just get out of yourself and think outside the box. We need to do this. And as we do this, we will have a desire for another life, isn't it? That is outside us. Because it's all that we have is from us. Really, we are limiting ourselves, isn't it? We are not allowing even the Holy Spirit to work. When was the last time when you prayed to the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit? When you were feeling weak and low and you asked him, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And then a few minutes later, you are filled, isn't it? So God does that. So these people, they needed to stop a little bit and to pay close attention to what Philip has said, to what he said. And already it has been said. But now they are thinking about this. They are thinking about the word of God. And many times we come to church and we hear the gospel preached or the word of God preached. We go and we don't busy ourselves by reflecting on what has been said. So maybe we need to start from now to think about what we have heard in the church and to pray about it and to pray it and to turn it into a prayer so that we have the fruit of the word of God in our lives. And this is very important. This is how men and women of God have grown in their knowledge of Christ, knowledge of God, have grown in their maturity. They are not just consume the word of God and just they leave it there. It's just important that we take it seriously and when we ask questions about this. So these people, they wanted really to pay close attention because it's the word of God that can bring them salvation. It's the word of God that can save them. So there was there they were as they heard Philip and they saw the power of God raising up people and setting people free from demonic forces of darkness, evil spirits which were coming out of many people. And even you see the word many, and many paralytics, cripples were healed. So many massive people. The kingdom of God is advancing. It's touching the lives of these people. We have seen this in Judea and now in Samaria. And now the message will go back to Jerusalem that even the gospel has reached even Samaria, has reached that area that is so vast. And you know now the Samaritans are not necessarily welcomed by the Jews themselves. You see? And yet the gospel reached there. So now the kingdom of Jesus Christ is bringing new dimensions into the thinking of the people of the time. Especially the Jews who were even Christians. Because even the church of God is still struggling with how to break away from Judaism in many ways. And to embrace the new kingdom, the new move of God. And that has where there is no place for traditions, human tradition especially. That Jesus now is coming and changing lives completely once and for all. And making people true worshippers. Looking back to the Old Testament as times pointing to him, the Messiah, the Christ. We have seen this. Now the kingdom of God is advancing. And one thing I should say also, even though the kingdom of God, these people are going to be witnesses through persecutions and then to engage in proclamation of the word of God, which cost Stephen his life, yet still there is room for them to be joyful and to rejoice. This is what we read in verse 8. So there was great joy in the city because the word of God is being proclaimed. Christ is being proclaimed. And the forces of darkness are fleeing. And then people's hearts are being changed. People who were heart in heart, we were gossiping and hating other races. Now they are just really embracing one another. They are becoming the followers of Christ. And there was great joy. You might not be a happy person. And you don't have to be a happy person. But you need to make sure that you have the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you are the strongest, not the person who is feeling happy. You see, but the person who has the joy of the Lord is the strongest. There was joy. How can you be joyful in suffering? Well, that is God's ways of making a new people. This is God's way. So nothing can tie them down. So nothing can defeat them. So truly you have been brought into a wonderful life. You have been brought. That is when Jesus said, I have come so that we might have life and have it in full. This is a full life. Christian life is not like a life that really devoid of good things, isn't it? We have the best things. You have heard Jesus saying that even if you are bad people, you know how to give your children good gifts. How much about your Heavenly Father who gives the best? The Holy Spirit. Because with the Holy Spirit, you are right with God. If the Holy Spirit is active and is taking place, leading you to obedience to Christ, prompting you when there is something wrong, sins, to repent, giving you great love for God and for your neighbor. So this is a great life. And also giving you the hope of your salvation when Christ returns. And so these people, they were joyful also as they see the work of God taking place. Have you ever felt joy when you seeing God touching other people, even someone coming to faith, to salvation? I can't escape this picture, when Nicodemus Barnack, for those who were not here, he was a member of our church here. He was in Germany. He went to Alexandria University. He trained in agriculture. And then he got married with his wife, Martha Barnack, and they went to Germany. He was doing masters. And I just marvel how these people really, they start in Arabic, they start in English, and they go there doing masters in German language. So he was there. He was brought up in a church, but he was not born again. So Martha was. And so there was like a small group of Christians who were meeting in homes. And so they were praying. They were just people on fire for God. It's an African fellowship. And so Nicodemus became really agitated by that. Martha may be cooking quickly and doing cleaning and everything and just going to pray with brothers and sisters. And so Nicodemus had a friend from a Shuluk man from another tribe, but he was his colleague and his best friend. He was also in Soviet Union. He was doing his PhD there. I don't know, also maybe in agriculture, in Russian. So he came to Germany and he stayed with them. And then he was born again. Jonah 1. And they all used to go to that fellowship. And then one day, when his friend saw that Nicodemus was a lot agitated and he was trying to prevent his wife from going to those prayer meetings, and so he said to him, "Nicodemus, my friend, you are not born again. You are not a Christian." And he was really angry. And he was giving his testimony here in the church, and he thought to punch his brother, his friend. And then he said, "Well, look, he is my guest. I can't do that. The only thing maybe I'm permitted to do is to ask him to leave my house." And he asked him to leave his house. That was a bold thing for you to do for your friend who has come from another country, isn't it? And then his friend went, and he found a place, hopefully. But they went on praying, and even praying for Nicodemus. So one day, just on the border, across the border, there was a revival meeting at Netherlands. And so all of them, they just planned and they desired, they went, they all went. And then thankfully, the Lord God moved Nicodemus to accept the fact that he joined his wife, Martha, and they all went to Netherlands. And then the meeting, there was a lot of prayer. It was just amazing. And as the word of God was preached, Nicodemus was convicted, as Christ was proclaimed. As his word came forth with power and grace, he couldn't resist. He realized that he was a sinner and he needed to be saved. And Nicodemus told us that when he heard the word and everybody was sitting, and then there was an altar call and he got up in his place and he gave his life to Jesus. And as he did that and he was praying, there were tears in his eyes, repenting of his sins. That group, that very group, they just came rushing around him with great joy. And they just surrounded him and they prayed with him. That was amazing. So there is joy when we see God's touching lives. Christ, that means Christ is glorified and that his kingdom is advancing. And now nothing can stop this kingdom. Whether there is persecution, even though it's not God's best means to advance his kingdom, but that, even that, he will use it. Because he didn't mean his people to be destroyed, but he wants them to prevail. But there is a price to be paid at times. And so now maybe it's just proclamation of the word, and we know in our modern day now that there is a great need for us to be engaged and to take to our hearts. Acts chapter 8. So in the back of your mind, as you walk as a Christian, you need to think about these things. When you face troubles in your place, workplace, the solution might not for you to quit the job, isn't it? We are always tempted. Whenever we face troubles and problems at our workplace, we just want to quit. Well, this might be your mission field. Maybe later on you may win them. Because when man's ways pleases God, even make his enemies reconciled him. I have no time to see the contrast, to tell you the contrast between the godly men and I said to you, I shared with you the contrast between godly men and Saul, and also there is contrast also between Simon the sorcerer, who wants to become a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This will be our next subject, so that the kingdom of God is advancing, but it's not allowing corrupt things to remain. Because this man will be trying to do so. The kingdom of God must advance. and sufferings are not meant for to destroy us, but are meant to for God to advance his purposes, and also he called us to be his witnesses. So you can't avoid this as long as you are a Christian. We are called to be witnesses. And how God is going to fulfill that in our lives, well, we have seen how he did it with his church there. And so let us be strong and courageous to embrace God's ways as he takes us through paths that may seem to be difficult and hard at times. But in those contexts, we do not only fulfill God's commands, because we are his servants. He is the master. Jesus is our master. He leads us wherever he wants. We say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And we know also that we will not be left without great joy, but joy unspeakable. As we see lives being saved, soul being delivered, being brought out from darkness into the light, from death to life. That is a glory to our Lord. That means our Lord is defeating his enemies. That is our Lord Jesus Christ is crowned, and he is the one who is in charge, he's advancing. And this should be our highest joy and our highest commitment, to see him advancing, defeating all his enemies for his glory and for the blessings of the people he has saved, like you and I. What are you doing? Are you lamenting your circumstances? Are you really looking at other people and thinking like, "Oh, they have a nicer life"? No one has a nice life. If you are a Christian, you are not. If you are trying to have a nice life, then you are complacent. You need to rethink again and repent. And I myself resort not to talk even about finance, because it hasn't been like something particularly I'm interested in or even impressed by. But it's something even part of the of how you advance the kingdom of God. So you advance the kingdom of God through all the means that he has given you. To some, he has given them to speak the truth. To some, as we will see in the New Testament, Paul will ask them to donate so that the kingdom of God advances. To other people, to come and build houses and to build things. Some people will just go and build churches just for free, for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Other people will go and just teach for free, and so that other people may have literacy skills, so that they can read the Bible and also can share it with others. So we are to use all our resources for this purpose, to glorify our Lord and to glorify Jesus Christ our Lord. And so these things are not, and because he knows, he cares, he can provide, and everything belongs to him. There will always be clashes between kingdoms, but the Christian people are called to be ready and to go in the footsteps of those who have gone before us. The Bible says other people have done the hard job, even we are going through the easier part, isn't it? In Australia, maybe you are hearing that we will be going to jail. Yes, some have gone, like Bishop Pell. You see, he has gone there, you see. So many people have done that. Maybe not one of us has gone in yet. But if it's going to happen, yes, you need to make sure that you have your Bible with you. That was what I did back in 2000 before coming to Australia. I was just like going just for a break. I didn't have any ID on me. I was just got caught by the security. They asked me for my residency. I had nothing. They said, "Well, look, go to detention." You go to immigration detention. And I got there. You see, because they don't give you a chance. It was just like 100 meters. They couldn't allow me to go and grab my passport and to show them that I have a proper paper in the country. Just got there. The first thing I did when I got into that jail, the good thing was like the most crowded part was full. So I was taken into a smaller place where there were political prisoners, intellectual people from other parts of the world who were running from their governments. And there was this guy by name Mamoun Bursan. He was from Syria. And this man, actually, after I got there, the first thing I did, I fell asleep. I was so tired. But I think God was just allowing me to rest so that I was going to go through the night just sharing with this man my Munbursan from Isaiah 53, the very verses that I have shared with you. Because he was an intellectual, he was not running because of something wrong he has done, but he was like trying to point things out to the government that the people deserve better treatment. So he was like really suffering for the sake of his people. That is why the words of the prophecy of Isaiah were making sense to him. Surely he took up our infirmities. As I was reading these things to him, he paid close attention like the people who were listening to Philip. And he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. This man, he just took these words. He pulled out his pen and he wrote them down. And he said some compliments to me after that. And he asked me, he said to me, "You were excellent in your presentation through the night." That was what he said. And he said, "What denomination do you belong to?" I said, "I'm a Protestant." And he said, "Wow, you children are Protestant, you Protestant children, you are very sensitive and you are hard on yourself sometimes." That was what my Munbursan said. And he gave me context of people to contact when I came out, and he became my friend. Started to visit him in jail. Actually, I was Googling him. I think I located him. Maybe he's in Norway. So I'm praying that I might be reunited with him after 24 years or 23 years in whatever means. So these words were making sense to him, because he was not suffering for himself, but he was suffering for his people, Syria. And even that was ahead. And now look after that, those years, what has happened to Syria. And so you might be like the people in chapter 8 who will be scattered. So consider it as a pure joy. I didn't have time even to mention Joseph briefly. You see that he was, even though that was not the best choice for himself, even his brothers, they were just acting out of jealousy. And yet God turned that to be something good. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And so, of course, see yourself as someone that God wants to use for the good of others. That's the best way to live. If you want to be free from sin and free from the entanglements of this world, consider yourself as someone who is on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in your life and for the people around you. There you will go from this world as someone who has lived well. This is how we should live well. We don't live well when we don't have problems. We don't live well just when we have money and we have everything. We live well when we are in the will of God, like the people in chapter 8. Well, you will be my witnesses, but you ask yourself, how am I going to be God, Christ's witness? He knows how, isn't it? It's not your job how he is going to do that, but it is your job. When things happen like persecution, like what happened to the people there, you will be ready to go, not only to Judea, but even further to Samaria and then to the end of the world. Let us pray.